This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Abro, an avid and intrepid traveller. From scuba diving to jungle trekking, skydiving to glacier walking, I have travelled to all seven continents of the world. I have crossed the Arctic and Antarctic circles, stood with my feet on either side of the equator, and climbed to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Being diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa and going blind have not stopped my travels, just changed the way in which I experience them. As I share some of my adventures with you, I hope this will encourage you to try some travels of your own. As someone who really enjoys being in or on water, and as I've spoken in some of my other travelogues, I've managed to go on many different water-related adventures, from the extreme of Antarctica and the Galapagos to the wildest of whitewater rafting in Colombia, or from the serene of the San Blas Islands to experiencing the ultimate luxury by crossing the Atlantic Ocean on the Queen Mary II, and a whole host of other boats, ships, and yachts along the way. But I always find it amusing how surprised people are when I tell them how much I enjoy going on cruises. The conversation often turns to how they're not really cruise types of people. I think it is a shame that cruise ships have got the bad reputation they have over the years. People will think about cruise ships being one long eat-a-thon or full of old people. Of course, this is for some people quite true and what their holidays are all about. But nowadays, crews are filled with rides and games and all sorts of entertainment for most of the day. And then there's restaurants, bars and cafes of all sorts and all types of foods. And if you're lucky enough, an ice cream parlor, or better still, a self-serve, soft-serve ice cream machine, which of course is my very favorite. Some are aimed at adults, or even as the reputation goes, some are aimed at older people. And others are themed by the likes of Disney, whose target audience is clearly a lot younger. The ships and cruise lines also vary from the small and intimate, albeit those being the more expensive ones, to the giants of the sea with thousands of passengers on board. In fact, on one of the cruises that we went on, I was chatting with a couple who had a small child and a baby, and they told me it was their best holiday ever. They had kids clubs and babysitters on hand any time of the day that they wanted them, and they knew that everything was safe. So I decided I would take you on a few of the cruises that I have been along and show you that they really are holidays for everyone, and at times, even ideal holidays for blind and partially sighted people, even the adventurous ones. Who knows, I may even get you interested in trying one for yourself. For me, as a blind man, the pleasure of a cruise ship, and depending on the type of cruise, I might be visiting cities or exploring nature. But the easiest part of it is that I have the same cabin for the entire cruise, and I don't have to worry about, am I moving to a new hotel and trying to learn all about that one. The flip side of that is that ships are pretty much like rabbit warrens, and trying to find my way around them can be a challenge. So it is important that I'm with someone who does have vision, both from the finding my way around, as well as from a safety point of view, because let's be real, we are out on the water. The first cruise I'm taking you along with me to is Alaska. This was one of our first cruises, and certainly one of the most spectacular scenic cruises that we've been on. And in retrospect, I couldn't have done it at a better time because I still had a bit of vision, so I could still see and appreciate all the beauty around us. It was a very last-minute decision to go on this cruise, as we were actually in the middle of doing a giant train journey that took us all the way up the west coast of America, across Canada, and back down the east coast of America. But as we were heading into Vancouver, we decided that it would be good fun to go and see what Alaska was all about. I was quite amazed at how beautiful the interior of this ship was, filled with all sorts of modern art in the reception area, and all the restaurants and bars were filled with different kinds of art, and even along the staircases, there was more of this magnificent art. We'd booked a ticket called a run-of-the-boat ticket. This meant that we would only be allocated our cabin once we actually got to the ship. It was a much cheaper ticket and all that our budget allowed for at the time. So while we got an inside cabin, it was still on a decent level of the ship and not way down in the bowels of the ship. Given the destination of the ship, there were lots of lounge areas with huge glass windows so that we could admire the views. And of course, whenever the weather allowed, we were out on deck doing just that. We were sailing up the inside passage of Alaska, which is a network of waterways, islands, fjords and channels all along the Pacific coast. No matter where you looked, there was the most spectacular scenery of forests and mountains and glaciers, quite something. It was also here where I overheard a really sweet question from a young couple sitting enjoying the scenery. The young lady turned to the man and asked, "Is it Alaska on both sides of the ship?" It was so sweet to overhear such a conversation. One of our stops was in Juneau in Alaska, and we went off on a whale watching trip. Turned out to be on a very small boat in a very big rainstorm. And while we did see a whale, it was so fleeting that there was no chance of getting a photograph of it. My favorite port stop was called Ketchikan, where we were able to go walking off into the countryside, following a river upstream and watching salmon swimming upstream to spawn. It was incredible to watch them jumping up a waterfall to get to their breeding ground. It's so ingrained into them where they would be going that nothing would stop them, not even a waterfall. Then, having spawned, they were too old and exhausted to do anything more than die and become fish food for the river. It was quite something to see the circle of life acted out by the salmon in this beautiful Alaskan setting. The highlight of this cruise, however, was the Hubbard Glacier. This was the first glacier I had been close enough to see, and it was a giant. As we approached the glacier, the crew went off in a small Zodiac to go and get closer to the ice and check that it was safe for our ship to go closer than we were. They guided us as close as it was safe to do. And at first we didn't realize how huge this glacier was because, of course, we were standing on the ninth deck of a giant ship, so anything is going to seem a little smaller. But as we got closer and closer, we saw it was mammoth. In fact, we watched as a piece of ice, the size of a double-decker bus, carved off the edge of the glacier and fell into the water. The splash was thunderous and the ripples that created really bounced our ship about. I never really knew if this was caused by our ship engines or not, but it was quite something to see. During the cruise, one night was a midnight ice carving formal function. Being the backpackers we were, we didn't have the necessary outfits to be able to go to such formality, so the crew took pity on us and sent in the tailor. Well, the result was impressive, if I say so myself. There I was, kitted out in a tuxedo, and Annie looking gorgeous in a couple of different dresses that they had provided for her. The formal dinner was exactly that. The captain of the ship and all the officers were there, and all the formalities of the evening were as they should be. The dinner was delicious, but it was the ice carving event that was really something. This was an opportunity for the chefs of the ship to showcase their culinary expertise and for the ice carvers to show off what they could do with a chainsaw and a chunk of ice. That was quite something. The evening was truly an artistic marvel, both in taste and in view. As an introduction to cruise ships, I think we chose brilliantly. Join me next time on RNIB Connect Radio for another adventure. But for now, I'll leave you to plan your own travels.